Yeah. Alas, the times we live in, yeah. Awesome. Please. Okay. Sure.
Right.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you very much, you know, for having us and talking to us and being interested in us.
Ah. Oh, right. Small world. Not I don't know her, but that's interesting. Huge.
Go on, Andy, you go first.
Hi there, I'm Andy Burrows, and I'm one half of Smith & Burrows.
Yeah, and I'm Tom Smith, the other half of Smith & Burrows. I think... 50-50. That's what we do, isn't it? Yeah, we do. We do.
Yeah,
we just do 50-50.
Club 50-50, aren't we?
We don't really think
much
about it. That's terrible, isn't it? Club 50-50.
Club 50-50, Smith & Burrows.
The second record from
the most
Smith
diplomatic band ever.
Death by diplomacy. Yeah. I mean, it's the way we do it in editors as well. So, you know. Sorry? Right. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. You know, I think it's a step outside of our musical, well, what we're known for musically in our more known day jobs, I guess. But I mean, the idea of making music together came from our friendship, really, and we started doing cover versions to start with, didn't we? Yeah. Before that funny little Christmas record we made in 2011. And since then, we've, you know, we're really good friends. So, you know, throwing songs backwards and forwards. Yeah, when we've got downtime, we get together and we work together. And I don't know, it took 12 years to get the best part of an album and be sat here with you now. But it's just born out of friendship. I don't really know. There's not really any kind of conceptual consideration or, you know, plan.
Really. No, it's definitely, it's always been an easy thing. And I feel like Tom was the first and only musical thing I had. Once things became professional, I was playing in Raised Light. Tom was the first person I met who was interested in doing music just for the hell of doing music. We were, you know, I think I did a show and you joined in with me and, you know, we were just messing around. So it's always been born out of, as Tom said, it's always been born out of friendship and having a laugh making music. And it's just grown into something, I guess, ever so slightly more serious in that it's a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, as the songs piled up, you know, they become, you can't get out of the way of them, you know, they become a thing that's too big to ignore. Not that we're trying to ignore it, but obviously we have day jobs and we're busy, you know, and it's like, well, actually, no, we've got a great record here, Andy, let's do it. Most people did. It felt really special. I mean, I was being, you know, the thing about making a Christmas record is it's obviously only meant for a certain period of time. So, you know, we made that record in the summer, thinking wintry thoughts and dreaming up these kind of original songs and cover versions for the most part. But when it came to release it, you know, once you've gone past Christmas, it's done, you know. So we did a little tour, we released a single, and it felt really, really special. But then it was the new year and you can't keep banging on Christmas songs into January and February. So, you know, it just stops. And it becomes a thing that, you know, once a year, people who love it contact us about and say, oh, I'm listening to that again. Dug it out of the box, you know, as I do this time every year, which is really special. That's a really nice feeling. Yeah.
Well, we got started on these songs, I think, maybe 2016, something like that. Maybe 16 or 17. But just in a very sort of casual, knocking ideas to and fro. It's always been fun for me to send Tom ideas because he's very good at making it a hell of a lot better and sending it back. It's always kind of worked creatively quite well. But no, I think we've worked at a steady pace over the last 4 years. And it got really exciting about a year ago when we sort of sat with each other having a pint saying, I think we've got an album here. I wonder if anyone would like to produce it. So yeah, again, like our relationship, the songs and the album has come about in a very organic and you know, musical and very diplomatic 50-50 club type of way.
Editors are. Yeah.
And I have been. I have been for many years.
Yes. We have an ongoing relationship with Piers. Yeah. Yeah.
No mumbo jumbo.
Mumbo jumbo free.
Mumbo jumbo free record. This 50-50 diplomacy mumbo jumbo free album.
I mean, there is a song on this record that's very nearly called Mumbo Jumbo. That's a great name for a Smith and Burrows song, actually.
It is.
There's a song on the record called Buccaneer Rum Jum, which I don't know. I just made me think of Mumbo Jumbo.
Mumbo Jumbo.
Anyway. Wow. All right. Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Okay. We did have a day in Alabama. We were recording in just outside of Nashville. We had a day trip. We did take a day trip to Alabama to go to Fame Studios. It was towards the end of the session. It was like a group visit from the engineer, the producer, Jakia King. We all got in the car, went down there for a few beers and to take the tour, to soak in the vibe. And just to, I don't know, for an
and
experience,
also,
really.
Because Nashville wasn't hot enough.
It was so hot. Me and Andy, red as you like English blokes in the heat of the Franklin sun. Yeah, so we were in Franklin, Tennessee, making a record with Jakia King, who editors had made an album with in 2012. Me and Andy aren't a band. So when we've been working on these songs and these ideas, there are 100 different ways you can take the beginnings of a song to bring it to fruition. Stylistically, the vibe, the producer, the production. So we had lots of conversations about how we should make our album, because a band has an inbuilt kind of personality. It's a group of 4, 5, 6 people, and they have history. And our history was kind of making a covers record and a Christmas record, and we wanted to get away from that. So, we both had a shared passion for a certain type of songwriting, which you can hear on this record. But the idea to go with Jakia King, I don't know. I felt kind of like I'd had that experience with editors with him. I thought he'd understand the songs. I thought he'd be too expensive. But we sent him a couple and he absolutely loved it. And to hear someone like that who's made, Norah Jones records, Kings of Leon records, Tom Waits records, to hear our demos and go, okay, guys, I've got a vision for your thing. Me and Andy were like, okay, well, let's buy a plane ticket. I mean, there's two. The song either starts with an idea from me or from Andy, but then, we'll share that, and then we'll get in. know, we were living in both living in London then, and I had a place with a little kind of demo studio upstairs, and Andy would come round, we'd hang out, and, you know, we'd just record acoustic guitars and maybe a little drum machine and just try and develop it. And then I don't know, quite often you'd leave it with me for a little while, wouldn't you? And maybe another part would come, and I don't know. Andy's really prolific and comes up with lots of ideas, whereas I kind of take a lot of time over one thing, and that seems to be how I work. And
yeah, totally. I think it's a really productive way of working. It's very enjoyable. I'm very scrappy. Tom put it very nicely. Prolific is, I prefer prolific, but I'm very sort of scrappy, and I'll come in with lots of bits of scraps and chuck them into the room. And yeah, we tend to take it from there, or Tom will chuck the scrap. But he's good in a studio, and he's got a lot more patience. So he tends to carry on working on the idea that we've been working on together all day, and then sends it back a couple of days later, and it generally sounded absolutely banging.
Yeah. It's nice to have, I don't know, like Andy said, I can sit on an idea for quite a long time, and it can live with me, and it can be very simple, but bare thread. Maybe Andy's just come up with a chorus, and then it's easy for me to spend 3 weeks working with that and try and develop a verse to go with it. And then, you know, so that part, you know, is we work differently, which I think coming together, you know, it's nice to bring out each other's strengths, you know. Yeah, definitely felt that. Yeah, definitely felt that. And also, you know, I think it's just like, because like Andy calls them scraps, but he comes up with so much melody and so many ideas. I think, I don't know, having me to kind of farm the bits that I like, you know, and I don't like every, you know, what works in the Smith and Burrows way is when we find the thing that we both connect with, I guess. And
totally.
The stuff that doesn't work for this project that goes elsewhere, but... yeah, I guess it's that kind of mining, isn't it? Mining for the sifting through the gems.
And we were on a bit of a. I feel like we got into a really good rhythm with this, even though we weren't meeting up every day. If anything, we were meeting up perhaps once a month, twice a month. But we got into a really good rhythm, and it really is. I mean, for me, it's one of the most enjoyable working relationships I have. I think probably because the two of us do complement each other so well.
Producers that have won Grammys, man, they're the worst.
Yeah, man, they're tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a place now. He used to work out of Blackbird, which is a very famous one, which is, yeah, it's beautiful. But so he worked there for a long time, and then in the last 3 or 4 years, he's kitted out his own place, which is in Franklin, which is a kind of sleepier town, very nice place to be. So it's kind of like a house, really, isn't it? I mean, nobody sleeps there, but it's just his own place.
Yeah.
I mean, he you know, obviously... He came at this with the idea of, for each song, him and one of his friends kind of did some additional production. So each one of the 10 or 11 songs had this kind of backbone of production and ideas, which was very faithful to the songs that the demos that we'd sent him, but it definitely hinted stylistically where things could go, and more of certain things and less of others. And for me and Andy, just to hear somebody working on the tunes in that, kind of really boiling them down to the bare bones, and like, yeah, I guess the signposting where these things could end up production wise and sonically, and how they would feel as a whole, It was really interesting, really exciting. It was so cool.
Yeah.
So we had these like templates for these songs, and as long as we kind of okayed them between us, you know, then we had to kind of go in and, you know, Andy plays drums and we both play guitar and piano and lots of singing, lots of vocals to bring these things to life. But yeah, I think if we didn't respond well to the production that Jakir was serving up, it wouldn't have worked. But me and Andy were just on cloud nine. It was just an absolute dream. It felt quite like a pop way of working. I don't know about you.
I think it was a very pop way. It was our band in a way. It was like Tom and I were asking each other, what do we do in the absence of being a band? Or, you know we got these great songs and we know we can play together, but in the absence of having a drummer, a bass player, and a rhythm guitarist to sit next to us, or a synth player, Jakir and his friend coming up with these pre-production ideas really made me and Tom feel like we knew a little bit more about the record we were going in to make. So it was a joy. It was a total joy, and I think it gave us confidence and made us exceptionally excited.
I mean, we're only in the room with him because our tastes overlap in a big way. We trust him. Yeah. So it was a trip. Yeah, of course. That makes sense.
Yeah. Loads of gear, drum, pedal. So many guitars and pedals.
One of his friends. What was the name of that place? Leaper's Fork. One of his friends.
Leaper's Fork.
Yeah, took us out to Leaper's Fork. And he had the most outrageous collection of vintage, antique Gibson and Martin acoustic guitars. I mean, it was just wow. And he lent us quite a few.
As many as we wanted. It was crazy. It started off, we were going over to pick up maybe a guitar each, and we came back with about 15.
We started out sitting on his porch. We're sitting on his mum's porch? Mother-in-law's porch? Sitting on his friend's porch, drinking whiskey, and then it ended the evening in his house, just robbing his guitars. It was very warm.
They did make us play a few songs for them at the end of the evening in return, by which point me and Tom had had a fair amount of very expensive whiskey, which is...
it might depend on the
not
time.
Sure how well it worked on Tom and I that night. Yeah.
It's a good question. It's a good question because we both write for other things as well, you know. So, you know, to have that little voice in the back of your head go, actually, no, that's not for editors or whatever. Yeah. That's for this. I think compared to what I do, I mean, maybe it's a different answer for both of us, but obviously with editors, like, there's an atmosphere, there's a darkness there, which even when Smith and Burroughs are making sadder songs, is a different thing, you know. Yeah. There's a playfulness, there's an melodic kind of nature to what Andy and I do that is different fundamentally to what I do with editors. So I kind of put a different head on when I'm writing for Smith and Burroughs. For the most part, I'm like, okay, I'm writing for Andy now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to a different place and stretch myself. I don't know about you.
I think I learn more about it from Tom's observation of it, because it's a bit clearer with you, because it's editors. I mean, I know you write for other things, but essentially editors is the main weight of your writing, and then you dip over here. And I feel like for you over here is slightly more allowed to be a tiny bit more upbeat, even though you bring the darkness still. But, no, I didn't say that. I would never say it. No. I mean, I think what's funny is that if you were to listen to a Andy Burrows solo record, the difference between editors and Andy Burrows solo record is there's a big gap there. Yeah, it's pretty massive. I feel, for me, it's just, if I feel a bit more confident about an idea, I'll probably send it to Tom. I think I tend to feel like the more ambitious ideas I have, I like sending to Tom, because I want to hold on to them for myself, not go and write with some young'un. I prefer to go and... Tom feels like the most personal thing to me without it being an Andy Burrows album. So I'm quite lucky, because I feel like Tom just ends up making my own songs better.
I think there was a really nice time in the writing where we started to really hit our stride with songs where we would share the vocal. So on our first album, all the songs are sung by you or by me, aren't they? There's heavy backing vocals, but lead vocal is by one of us.
Yeah.
A lot of these songs on this album, we found a way to make lead vocals a shared thing. So whether the verses are swapped with the choruses, you know. So there's, I think, maybe 6 or 7 of the songs on the album. You know, there is a playful interaction with the vocals and the way we sing and how we sing and who takes what. So that was something that Jakir also really wanted to bring to the fore and really exaggerate, because it was a nice kind of, bouncing between each other. It really seemed to get to something in the songs that was... Yeah, which was our own, you know, a personality.
Honest, very honest, yeah.
Sure. I mean we, Simon and Garfunkel, are definitely a reference point, or an act that we've talked about a lot in this journey. My favorite band is REM, right? I love that band dearly. I love a lot of their records. If someone had to quiz me which is my favourite REM album, some days I'd say Murmur, because I love it. Obviously, you know, it's a very unique record. But most of the time I'll say Automatic for the People. I love the way they kept their, you know, throughout that journey, the kind of alternative sensibility. And, you know, they made music from an alternative place. But over their kind of like growing songwriting experience and how they approach songwriting, you know, they culminated at Automatic, which is pop music, you know, songs that are as big as they can be, that, you know, that appeal to a mass audience. And I think they're incredible. I like it when it's done well, you know. Of course, yeah. Mm. Absolutely.
Well, they're a pop group, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're a brilliant pop group, but at the same time as being what people would describe as an alternative indie rock band as well, which is, you know, it's no mean feat.
Mm. Sure.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that, Andy?
I don't know. This will be interesting. You know, responding to a review in the first place is always, you know, both a dangerous and an essential part of this this job, if you will. You can't really avoid it. I'd love it if people wrote great things about this record and understood that we're a couple of guys from bands who've made a pop record. I'm sure it'll get some shit too. I really don't know how I feel about reviews anymore. I've got too old to know how I feel about reviews. I guess a nice one is a lovely thing, and a bad one is something that you just try and
throw in the bin.
Yeah,
give yourself a tap on the back for a good one, and
yeah.
But that's the problem, though, isn't it? Because when the bad ones, they do sometimes there can be a line that sticks with you. You can linger. mine were the same thing, I think. same time. You think? I apologise to anyone who takes aerobic seriously. If that was the impression. It's a funny old time to be releasing music. And obviously when we were thinking at what we were going to do visually for that song, we were really in deepest, darkest lockdown. You know, you were allowed out of the house. Well, here in this country at that time, you were allowed out of the house once a day for, 45 minutes. And the idea of making a music video, well, you couldn't do it normally. So, I think to film ourselves being a bit silly, not taking ourselves too seriously, was a bit of a laugh, you know. Our editors have a long-standing relationship with a video maker called Rahi Rezvani. He's a Dutch-Iranian kind of high-end fashion photographer, but he also makes music videos as well. He's a genius, and a lot of his videos, he kind of he'll film you singing, miming along very at the song like twice, three times, four times as fast, and then play it back regular speed, so you're lip syncing pretty much in time, but you're moving in slow motion. And to be frank, it looks cool. And I had to call him up and ask him, how is this possible on an iPhone these days? You know, can we do this? And so we needed some technical support, but yes, I mean, I wouldn't say we look cool, but yeah,
well, we look something
close,
yeah.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, it feels like there's a lot of creativity going on at the moment, whether that's kind of something like a video like that or just people making collaborative records, you know, remotely. It will be interesting when this thing eases up in a significant way. There may be a tidal wave of releases and you know, material. And I think some of it's going to be very interesting. Different mindset for creative people, but I think everyone is just knuckling down and being creative, which is kind of cool. Exactly. That is a great question. We don't know, do we?
We don't know. I think it's supposed to come out October, November.
Okay.
I think we're very lucky that we've made this album. We're quite lucky that this album isn't one of the records that we're talking about, looking forward to hearing in a year's time. I'm quite glad that we made this back when the world was, you know, ever so slightly more normal. When it comes out, it's a slight mystery to Tom and I, but I think October and November has been banded around a lot.
Yeah, I think we'll put out a song or two more, and then, you know, because it's weird, because I know we made a little kind of covers record, but we are also a new band in so many ways, you know. It's this record, you know, it has its beginnings in that record we made, but I mean, the time has passed so much that, you know, and this record is not a mirror image of that one. It's very different. It's just a big step forward.
So it needs to start out in such a way.
Yeah, we're a new band, aren't we? So, yeah. You know, I think when new bands release records, it's done in a different way to established artists. So we'll put a song out, see how we do, put another one out, and then, yeah.
Maybe Bosch.
Bosch, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think we'll just roll with the punches, really, and do everything we can do. Talk to people who want to talk to us, you know, because we can do this type of thing. This is great. And you're right, we can't book any tours yet. We can... We can maybe do some little kind of performances at home, maybe, or, you know, remote kind of things. But I think we just have to roll with it. I mean, I think throughout this, there are good days and bad days. You know, some days where, like, the thought of the future and the lack of security and, yeah, just what the future is going to bring is daunting and swallows you whole. And some days you're like, well, just crack on. And I think that's the same for everyone in every walk of life.
Absolutely. Really.
I think that's a good way to be.
Yeah.
It's tricky. Things are loosening up and opening up and feeling a little bit more normal. You know, restaurants and shops are kind of open.
And I think there's a general goodwill amongst most of our population, as far as we can judge, that people are being fairly responsible.
Cautious,
yeah. But
today was the first day where it was kind of mandatory to wear a mask in a shop and in restaurants and cafes and stuff like that. So, and there's quite a lot of people that are really angry about that, which is kind of disturbing. Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but I think, you know, overall, I think, the country as a whole is dealing with it better now. It feels less significant. But I think people are worried about the winter, maybe. I know. Yeah. Who knows? You know.
It's a better vibe than it was, for sure. I mean, just on a positive level for a second. But yeah, I think people are still very worried about stuff, for sure.
Okay. Okay. Oh, we'll definitely make the call. That's fine.
We can't have a sandwich with one bit of bread.
It would be a kind of Swedish.
Open Swedish.
I think it's Scandinavia somewhere. Yeah, that's their vibe, yeah. Indeed. Yeah. Well. Absolutely. As soon as we finish, I'll ask the question and get someone to give you a shout. No. Yeah. Andy, what other song? Should we do old TV shows?
Yeah, I think we've been chatting about that song quite a lot recently. There's a track on the record called Old TV Shows. Me and Tom are particularly fond of that one, so that should be our other bit of bread.
There's a line in the song where it's kind of... It feels like a song where the kind of character is looking back, kind of through, I don't know, some kind of filter at his old kind of an old relationship, wistfully, shall we say? And he says it's over like Top of the Pops. So obviously, Top of the Pops was going into the 2000s, but you know that's 60s.
Yeah, 60s till 2007.
It's gone.
I think that's because the brand sort of lives on and they still sort of broadcast the odd show. But as a weekly event on British TV, it's long gone, which is very sad. It was a staple part of Tom and mine's, growing up. And, you know, you waited for that show every week and it was very exciting.
Musical Education.
Yeah, musical.
There you go. Yeah. I don't know about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're starting with All the Best Moves and we're finishing with old TV shows. And we need to think of some songs to go in the middle. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Okay. Well, do you want to go first or shall I go first?
I'll go first with a song that I know that you and I, an album that we both like. Yeah. I'm going to pick This Is the Low from Blur.
And how much chat do you want about these songs? Okay. Okay, cool. Sweet. So we go from All the Best Moves into This Is a Low by Blur. And then we'll have Don't Go Back to Rockville by R.E.M. Okay.
The Cure, Love Cats.
Andy's looking pained. let's have The River, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, brilliant. Miss Misery, Elliott Smith. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh gosh. Sometimes.
Should we let's have Blood Buzz Ohio by The National. It's slightly more contemporary. Great band. Yeah. Andy is pain.
Contemporary, I don't...
You don't... Yeah, go old.
No, because I like that. I'm following...
No rules.
I'll get out of this zone soon. I'll go Wilco. Impossible Germany.
I don't know that one.
Yes.
So we just had Wilco. So how many more songs are we looking at now? We're doing good. It's a big sandwich. Okay. I think like we need. It feels a bit dude heavy at the moment.
It does.
you know. Let's have. That Kate Bush song, Cloud. Cloud. Bursting. Yeah. That's a wonderful song.
That is a wonderful song. That is great. I like to stay. Let's stay whilst we're there with the ladies. I'd like to put The Cardigans.
Oh, great.
And a song off that brilliant album, Long Gone Before Daylight. Communication.
I'm just having a quick little. Let's go for the Blue Nile, and let's have Tinseltown in the Rain. Do you know that song? Yeah. I discovered them recently. I know they're an old band, but it's been nice to fall in love with the band again because it's been a while since I've had that. Absolutely. I am Andy.
I'm going to go Feline again and Cool for Cats for Squeeze. Right. Two cats in one sandwich.
There you go.
Glenn Tilbrook came to my 30th birthday and I still can't quite remember why, but he was there. Bowling, we went bowling. I was bowling with Glenn Tilbrook. Anyway. there we go. Sorted.
Did you hear that new Bob Dylan song? Murder Most Foul. It's like 17 minutes long though, isn't it? It's unbelievable. Let's not have that one. It's too long. Let's have a different Bob Dylan song. That song though is unbelievable. What should we have from Bob Dylan? Like a Rolling Stone.
Yeah. Go classic.
Yeah. So you can go.
I want to go NERD. So maybe. Yeah, that's. Yeah. Then we've gone proper street now.
Okay.
I've kept it real there, that drum beat.
And then. I don't know, man. What do you reckon? Got any more? We're scraping the barrel now, aren't we?
We're doing one, a finale. Yeah. Something that we've.
We could have some Simon and Garfunkel. Yes. Oh, keep the customer satisfied.
Oh my God.
Right. Yeah. The horns in that track.
Oh, they're just so good. I think that's like the greatest horn arrangement.
Yeah.
It's so bonkers. It goes crazy at the end.
Goes and goes and goes. Yeah.
Just more synth-based horns.
Yeah. It's a different time.
Different times.
Okay.
Got to have an Elton tune.
You do?
I know what I'm going to do. Nice and cheesy. Smith and Burrows. A song called Harmony and Me. It's called Harmony, isn't it? Harmony off Yellow Brick Road.
Old TV shows is kind of, it's quite a sad song really. So I think we need to just go slightly down before we bring it back slightly with the finale. So let's have Birds by Neil Young. I'd buy that.
I love it.
Okay. Andy, what are you having for dinner tonight?
I think I'm going to have a barbecue and perhaps maybe I'll have a sausage.
A sausage. Yeah. And are you drinking this evening or are you driving?
I'm driving, so I've bought some tasty Nanny Steak. What's that? I can't remember who they're by. But yeah, I'm off the sauce tonight.
And have you heard that new radio Dennis the Menace kind of guy?
Dennis the Menace, I have heard that. Supposed to be brilliant.
Yeah, he seems to know what he's talking about.
We should tune in.
And there's a new song.
All the best
by Smith and
Burrows.
Yeah, have you heard of those guys? God.
Smith and Burrows, Dennis the Menace. Yeah. There's a combo.
Yeah, I'm going to tune in.
Me too. Perfect.
Love it. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you for talking to us. Yeah, I think so. The audio. Yes. So, yeah. I'll We'll get on to that for you. Yeah.
The future.
There we go. Thank you. Cheers, Dennis. Nice one, pal.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye. Make sure it doesn't delete.